And we'll get to it this morning for our final hymn. Let's open up to 107, folks. We'll stand for our final hymn prior to the message this morning. Somebody in one of their testimonies this morning mentioned this hymn. 107. Jesus loves me. It says it all. Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad he does. And he loves me unconditionally. That is such good news, church. Let's sing it to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Please be seated, church. There's no greater thing than you to know than that Jesus loves me. He died for me. Wow, what a blessing. Let's grab our Bibles this morning, folks. And as you're turning to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 18 this morning, as we come to the Word of God in Jeremiah chapter 18. I have preached from this chapter before, but not on this particular subject. Jeremiah chapter 18 is all about the sovereignty of God. Amen? Jeremiah chapter 18 talks about how God is Lord of the universe. He owns it all. He made it all. It all belongs to Him. And the sooner a human being figures that out, the sooner off his life, her life will be better than ever before. And folks, there's two ways that God judges. God judges individuals. We know that. All will be judged. Either by the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat for believers, or the great white throne for unbelievers. But all are judged. There's another way that God judges. God judges nations. Did you know that? The Bible teaches over and over and over again that not only does God judge individuals, but God also judges nations of the earth. Okay? And that depends upon their obedience or disobedience to this book. Now, I want to speak a message this morning that I believe is a timely message. And I'm glad we're taping because I want all America to hear this message today. I want to speak to you on seven sure signs that America has declared war on biblical Christianity. You heard me right, church. Seven sure signs that America has declared war on biblical Christianity. Look with me in Jeremiah chapter 18. We'll stand for the reading of God's holy word. Look with me in verse number 7. The Bible says, at what instant? Now, beloved, this is God speaking. Amen. Not the prophet, but God through the prophet. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Beloved, God's word here makes a definite declaration that he will judge a nation according to the word of God. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for this incredible passage. And Lord, we could just write the name America, right, and cross out the word nation and put America right there. Because this is talking about America this morning. Lord, I thank you that you are the judge. And Lord, we thank you that your judgment is always righteous, always according to truth. And Father, this morning we are alarmed as your people, as we see our rights, our religious freedoms and liberties being infringed upon by the government. Oh God, it's becoming hostile against Christianity and against the word of God and the teachings thereof. Lord, we are becoming the outcasts of society. But Lord, we do not back down from that. We take pleasure in infirmities and persecutions and distresses for thy name's sake. For thou art worthy, Lord. I pray, O God, you would stir the hearts of your people this morning through this preached word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Michael Brown, he is a columnist, reporter, said, and I quote, "Is there an increasing hostility to Christian values and religious freedoms in our country today?" I answer yes. And yeah, for sure there is. And I want to give you 7 sure signs, all from the last few weeks, the last 3 weeks, these have all ever occurred. I told you this is a timely message this morning. 7 sure signs that America has declared war on biblical Christianity. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that there may come a day. They may march through that door and handcuff your pastor and throw me in prison. Amen. For preaching this book. Amen. I pastored a church in Canada. And as you know, up in Canada, it's already outlawed. You cannot, and we're right about there right now ourselves. You cannot preach against the sin of homosexuality in Canada. They'll throw you in prison. Well, guess what? I preach it regularly. They didn't care for me too much. But you know what? I had to preach the truth of the Bible, yeah, even though I was in another country, and they forbade it. Because it is better to obey God than the voice of man. Now, folks, I'm telling you that America is becoming more and more hostile to the teachings of Holy Scripture and to those who follow it. I want to give you 7 sure signs. The first one is this. Sure sign that America has declared war on Christianity. Is that when the first sign is that when a nation forbids its citizens from practicing their faith personally, you back it down, that nation is declaring war on Christianity. When a nation forbids its citizens from practicing their faith personally, let me give you an illustration. The NCAA, that's the National Collegiate Athletic Association, every year they have this March Madness. The basketball, and all the whole country goes crazy over these college basketball games. And they start with 64 teams, then they go down to 32, they go down to 16, they go down to 8, then they go out to the final 4, they call, and then they have 2 teams left. And they play for what they call the national championship. It's multi-billion dollar business, folks. Now listen, the NCAA just announced that it will not hold any men's or women's Final Four basketball events in a city that discriminates against anyone based upon sexual orientation or gender identity. Listen, in its official statement, the NCAA, this is a collegiate organization. They're not religious and they're not the government. What right do they have? Listen to what they said. They have declared, I quote, "The board's decision follows the recent actions of legislatures in several states, which have passed laws allowing residents to refuse to provide services to some people based on their sexual orientation or gender identity. While proponents of the laws focus on how they protect religious beliefs, critics have voiced concerns that they create an environment of sanctioned discrimination. It's not sanctioned discrimination. It's biblical authority. Listen, not only then has the NCAA grossly mischaracterized these recent laws, but it is now guilty of discriminating against biblically based beliefs and declaring that no Final Four games will be held in any city of America that does not allow men to use women's bathrooms and locker rooms, or that protects a Christian photographer from being forced to shoot a same-sex wedding. You see, what they're saying is that if you or I, because of our religious belief, the Bible, we cannot bake a cake. If I was a baker, I had a bakery, and two men came and said, "We're getting married. We want you to break our wedding cake." I couldn't do it because I would be partaking in their evil deeds. But they're saying, if that's your attitude, we won't have anything to do with you. We won't even come to your city. Now, go with me to Daniel chapter 6. In Daniel, just after Ezekiel, go to chapter 6. When the government passes laws that forbids its citizens from practicing their faith personally, they have declared war on biblical Christianity. Look with me in Daniel chapter number 6. Don't miss this. Look with me at verse number 3. Daniel, we know, is a man of God, and he stood for the word of God. Amen? In verse 3, this then, Daniel, was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. Yeah, that's the Holy Spirit. And the king, the president, thought to set him over the whole realm. He trusted him. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. You see that? Verse 4 says, Daniel was an upright man. He walked in integrity and in righteousness. Verse 4, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Listen, folks, they knew that Daniel was a true believer, and they knew that he would not violate the laws of God. Are you listening? They know, folks, listen to me. They know out there that you're a Bible believer. They know that you're not going to go against conscience and go against the law of God, the word of God. These presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto King Darius, live forever. All the presidents, verse 7, of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute. Oh, they call it a royal statute. Listen, and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into a den of lions. So they make this law that if you pray to any god but King Darius, we're going to kill you. We're going to let the lions chew you up for dinner. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing, the law, was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now notice in verse 10, the law has been passed. The government said, you can't pray to any god except the king. Doesn't it sound a little bit like what's going on in America today? The king is in charge and you will do what the king says, right? Well, Daniel, as soon as he knew that law was passed, he opened the windows of his house and he began to pray, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Israel. He prayed loud. He let them know that he was praying to the true and living God. He didn't fear the laws of man. Verse 11, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. You know what I think, folks? You got to read between the lines. Darius feared Daniel. Darius the king knew that Daniel was a man of God. He knew that he had power with God. 15. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statutes which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mount of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Folks, listen to me. When they forbid citizens of the nation from practicing their faith personally, we need to practice our faith personally. I'm not calling for civil disobedience. You know my heart. I love America. I'm patriotic. I'm red, white, and blue to the core. But America has become hostile to us, folks. And when God's word is violated, we need to keep it. Amen? If the whole world goes against what this book says, we need to stand for what it says. Oh, folks, do not fear government. Do not fear those who try to force you to violate the word of God. Daniel didn't. And God did the Bible. We won't take the time to read it, but you know what happened. Daniel came out. The Lord sent an angel and shut those lions' mouths. Said, shut up, leave them alone. Secondly, a second sure sign that America has declared war on biblical Christianity is when a nation, when a nation forces its citizens to violate their own conscience, they've declared war on biblical Christianity. Listen to me. The Colorado Supreme Court has chosen not to hear the case of Christian baker Jack Phillips, guy in Colorado, who was previously ordered by the Colorado Civil Rights Commission to create cakes for same-sex celebrations, re-educate his staff, and file quarterly compliance reports for 2 years. This is the government forcing a private-owned businessman to violate his conscience. Are you listening? According to Jeremy Tedesco, senior counsel with the Alliance Defending Freedom, quote, we asked the Colorado Supreme Court to take this case to ensure that government understands that its duty is to protect the people's freedom, to follow their beliefs personally and professionally, not to force them to violate those beliefs as the price of earning a living. Jack, who has happily served people of all backgrounds for years, simply exercised the long-cherished American freedom to decline to use his artistic talents to promote a message and event, homosexual marriage, with which he disagrees. And that freedom shouldn't be placed in jeopardy for anyone. Folks, the man's conscience is at stake. And the government says, too bad, bake the cake. They ordered him. The court ordered him to bake the cake. Listen. The court declined to hear the appeal case, meaning that the state civil rights commission not only has the power to require a bakery to make same-sex wedding cakes, but also has the power now to require that baker to re-educate his employee staff and to file regular reports proving that he is baking those cakes for homosexuals. This is what the court ordered in writing. Listen, folks, communist Mayo would be proud of state-mandated re-education like that. Yeah, communism. That's communism. Folks, America is changing drastically. Go to Acts chapter 5. They're trying to force you to violate conscience now. And it's only going to get worse, folks. I'm telling you, you better buckle your spiritual seatbelt. Acts chapter 5. Look at this. In Acts chapter 5, you know the case. Peter, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles, they had apostolic power. Signs, miracles, and wonders following. Amen? Why? To prove the veracity of the gospel. The sign gifts have ceased since the scripture is complete. They don't want the scripture. They want signs, wonders, and miracles. 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought amongst the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Notice this is where this is? In Jerusalem. Okay? That's like Washington, D.C. to us. Watch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, the apostles. But the people magnified them, said, these guys are actual apostles. And the believers were more added to the Lord Jesus, multitudes of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least a shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. And they were healed, every one. How? Apostolic power. Verse 17, then the high priest, rose up and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. Folks were getting saved and they didn't like it. They were becoming Christians and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Folks, are you noticing a theme in the passages we're quoting this morning? Those who were leading them to Christ were put into prison. You're going to see more of it. Well, I guarantee you. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Lord's got a sense of humor. They just threw him in prison for preaching the gospel. The Lord comes along, frees him from the prison and says, go preach the gospel in the temple. I love this one. You know what old Martin Luther did? He nailed the 95 Theses to the Catholic Church door. He said, read that. Verse 21. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning. Notice they didn't delay. And they taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with them, and called the council together. And all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Folks, listen to me. When a nation forces its citizens to violate their own conscience, we ought to obey God rather than men. 30. The God, he's going to explain why. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Saying, you guys don't have the Holy Ghost because you don't obey the gospel. You can't have the Holy Ghost until you obey the gospel. Folks, the point of this passage is the second sure sign that America has declared war on biblical Christianity. They don't want you speaking this name. But if you speak in the name of Allah, or Muhammad, or Buddha, or Krishna, you're okay. You're good to go. No problem at all. But not the name of Jesus. Wow. They said, we're going to preach Jesus. You kill us, we'll still preach Jesus. Amen. I see a third sign, a sure sign that America has declared war on Christianity. That is when a nation censors what is preached in a church.
What?
Oh yeah. Listen carefully. Dr. Eric Walsh, the highly qualified, newly hired district health director with the Georgia Department of Public Health, was fired last week because of the content of his sermon on Sunday as a Seventh-day Adventist preacher. As expressed by Jeremy Diss, an attorney with First Liberty, which has taken on Walsh's case, I quote, "No one in this country should be fired from their job for something that was said in a church or from a pulpit during a sermon." But this has occurred, folks. I'm telling you, they're coming through that front door, folks. You better be ready. As noted by attorney David French, Dr. Walsh, working for former President Bush and President Obama to combat AIDS, serving as a board member of the Latino Health Collaborative, and starting California's first city-run dental clinic for low-income families dealing with HIV/AIDS, wasn't sufficient enough to overcome the horror at Walsh's Christian views. In other words, the guy has done so much for society, yet he mentioned something in his sermon that they didn't particularly care for. They fired him from his secular job. Folks, he worked for the government, public health. Are you listening? They said, how dare he preach what the Bible says and then try to serve his country at the same time? That's what they said. Go to Revelation chapter 13. In Revelation chapter 13, when a nation censors what is preached in a from a pulpit in a church, that nation has declared war on Christianity. In Revelation chapter 13, you know the passage. It's the Great Tribulation period. The Antichrist, called the Beast, has come. Watch what he does. Watch what he does. In Revelation 13, and as I stood upon the sand of the sea, I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. And upon his horns, ten crowns. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And he's about to take over the world. You hear what I said? He's about to take over the world. This is about to come true. Two, and the beast. Who's the beast? Antichrist. Which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, who's the dragon? Satan gave him his power. He's satanically empowered. And his seat and his authority, great authority. He's taking over the world. Watch. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. He receives a death blow. He dies. And guess what happens 3 days later? I don't have to take the time to show you this. He comes back to life. What's he doing? He's imitating something. The resurrection. And his deadly wound was healed. He came back to life. And all the world wondered after the beast. They think he's Jesus Christ come back in the flesh. Look at it. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Last half of Daniel's 70th week. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. That's true believers. And watch it. And it was given unto him to make war with who? The saints. Which saints? Where are they? Tribulation. On earth. Thank you, Ellie. They're in the tribulation period on the earth. He made what against them? W-A-R. Folks, America has declared war on biblical Christianity. And if you don't see it, you're either an ostrich with your head in the sand, you live under a rock, or in a cave. Look at it. Verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over what? All kindreds and tongues and nations. You know what he's going to do? He's going to install beast worship. You don't worship me, off with the head. Folks, listen to me. You know what he's going to do? He's going to issue worldwide censorship of what is said in the churches. There's going to be one world religion, one world government, and those preachers will get up and they will pray in Satan's name. Did you hear what I said? It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Look at verse 11. He's not done. In chapter 13, verse 11. And I beheld another beast. Here comes a false prophet. I wonder what message he's going to preach. Another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon. He exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. Now, where is he doing this in verse 14? In the church. Look at it. Verse 14. He says, I want you religious people who worship the beast now to make a statue to him. An image of the beast, and which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. He's issuing universal censorship of the one world religion, what can be said from the pulpits. Folks, it's happening in our day. But I see a fourth sign. A fourth sure sign that America has declared war on Christianity. That is, when a nation forbids its citizens from giving biblical counsel, it has declared war on Christianity. Listen to me. Several senators have introduced a bill within the last 2 weeks that would deem all efforts to change someone's sexual orientation or gender identity an unfair, deceptive act or practice. Under the Federal Trade Commission Act, that's FTCA. That's right, it would be illegal for me or anyone else, a psychologist, a Christian counselor, a Christian teacher, a pastor, a missionary, to listen, it would be illegal, a form of medical malpractice, to counsel someone struggling with same-sex attraction or gender identity confusion. But it would be perfectly legal to encourage someone to embrace those attractions or to act on that confusion. You can encourage them to go that way, but you can't discourage them from it. Okay? Now listen. Already in 2009, conservative journalist Matthew Cullen and Hoffman Riley observed, and I quote, "A man goes to a psychologist with a problem. Doc, he says, I'm suffering terribly. I feel like a woman trapped inside the body of a man." Sound familiar? Sound familiar, Hollywood? Somebody just became a woman who was a man who won a gold medal? Listen, I feel like a woman trapped inside the body of a man. I want to become a woman. The psychologist responds, no problem. We can discuss this idea for a couple of years, and if you're still sure you want to be a woman, we can have a surgeon remove your private part, give you hormones for breast enlargement, and make other changes to your body, problem solved. Listen, gratified, the first patient leaves. This is an actual case study. Followed by a second patient. Doc, he says, I feel terrible. I'm a man, but I feel attracted to other men. I want to change my sexual preference. I want to become heterosexual. He says, I feel attracted to other men, but I don't want that. I want to be attracted to women. He's asking for normality. Listen, the psychologist responds, oh no, absolutely not. That would be unethical. Sexual orientation is an immutable characteristic. Did you hear what he told the guy? The first guy, he said, we can make you into a woman. The second guy said, no, you're homosexual. You're going to stay that way. You see it? This is what the government is mandating. Now listen. Family therapist Adam Jessel offered a similar observation. I quote, in today's climate, if Bill tells me that he is attracted to his neighbor's Fred's... Listen, if Bill tells me that he is attracted to his neighbor Fred's young child, the girl is 8, listen, he wants to reduce these attractions. I, as a therapist, can try to help him. If Bill has an unwanted attraction to his neighbor Fred's wife, this too is something I am permitted to help him with. But if Bill has an unwanted attraction to Fred himself, then it's regarded as unethical for me to help him. Do you see what they're doing? Listen, folks. The agenda is clear. They're trying to promote Sodom and Gomorrah. They're trying to destroy America from the inside out. Listen, if this new bill becomes law, it would not only be considered unethical to help. This is on the books in legislation right now in Washington. It would not only be considered unethical to help Bill deal with his same-sex attraction, but it would be illegal. They could put that counselor in jail for doing so. Now, it would also be illegal, listen to this one, to help a person get to the root of his or her gender confusion. But it would be perfectly legal for a counselor to recommend hormone blockers for a 10-year-old girl. Boy, to stop the onset of puberty and then to prepare that child for sex change surgery as soon as they were legally old enough to do so. Someone's got an agenda that they're promoting, and they're trying to enforce it through the laws of the land, folks. Listen, go to Deuteronomy 22, quickly. Gotta move. I may require a few extra minutes this morning, but it's gotta come out. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, and I'll give you a case study of this verse as well. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, look with me here. Don't miss this. Verse 5, this is clear. Verse 5, you believe the Bible? Amen. Verse 5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. You know what he just said? None of these guys dressing up in drag. They call it dressing up in drag. Where they put on high heels and they put a dress and lipstick and makeup and they pretend they're a woman. That's evil, God said. And then you've got women who chop their hair off, a butch haircut, make them look like a guy, and they grow a mustache and they, you know, start wearing a tank top and start lifting weights. They want to look like a man. God said, no, don't do that. That's an abomination. There's a man in Hollywood. You may know him. He's not only a famous actor, but he's also a famous producer of movies. His name is Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry, in most of his movies that he produces, he stars in them himself as a man dressed as a woman. And you know, I've talked to Christians that eat that stuff up. They, oh, he's so funny. I say, that's not funny. That is not funny. Do you believe the Bible? The guy's dressing up in drag and making a movie and they think it's funny. Folks, you either believe this book and you practice it or you don't. And I don't understand how Christians can go along with the flow and say, oh, this is okay and that's okay. What does the Bible say about it? That's the only thing that matters. Tyler Perry is not funny and he calls himself a Christian. Now, folks, you wonder why, listen to me, let me make a statement. You wonder why this new generation of American kids has a gender identity crisis? You wonder why they're passing laws where the boys can use the little girls' room and the girls can use the little boys' room and they have co-ed locker rooms? And you wonder why our kids are confused? What happened to America? What is going on this morning? I see a fifth sure sign that America has declared war on Christianity is when a nation ceases to protect the weak and innocent. When a nation ceases to protect the weak and innocent, that nation has declared war on biblical Christianity. Listen to me. The NBA, the National Basketball Association, has announced within the last week that it will not hold next year's scheduled All-Star game in Charlotte, North Carolina, unless the state of North Carolina changes HB2. Y'all know what HB2 law is? The Bathroom Privacy Act. So, unless North Carolina agrees to let grown men use women's locker rooms and changing facilities, And unless it removes protections for religious liberties, it will be punished by the NBA. We will not come for our All-Star game, which is already scheduled for next year. You hear what they're doing? Folks, can somebody make any sense anymore? They're going to rape women. What do you think's going to happen in those locker rooms? When the women, they have to change, they have to take their clothes off, and the guys over there looking and saying, boy, I just want to go and do something. And some of them will. How about the young girls? Think of it. The weak and the innocent need to be protected, not exposed to such evil. Punished. Punished for what? For protecting women and young girls from sexual predators. You're going to be punished. Wow. Wow! John chapter 8. Look at this, quickly, gotta move. In John's gospel, I'm so glad that Jesus Christ stood up for the innocent and the weak, and he still does. Amen, Sarah? In John chapter 8, here's a case study of where Jesus Christ stands up for a gal who needed protection. They were gonna kill her. And watch what Jesus does. In John chapter 8, verse 1, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him. And he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman, taken in adultery. Notice, she was taken in the act of adultery. Okay? I got a question for you. Where's the guy in this passage? Where's the guy? I'm going to show you something in a minute that's going to shock you. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. That's a true statement. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. Now, I always read over this and said, you know, I wonder what the Lord wrote. Well, the Holy Spirit showed me what he wrote. Jesus never violated the word of God or the law of Moses, you know. You know what he's writing? Go with me to Leviticus chapter 20. Hold your place in John. We're coming right back. I want to real quickly show you what Jesus wrote on the ground. In Leviticus chapter 20, this is going to blow you away. You know there's no filler words in the Bible? Everything is in there for a reason. What Jesus wrote on the ground was very important because it was a message to the Pharisees. In Leviticus chapter 20, look with me at verse 10. Verse 10. And the man, who? The man that committeth adultery with another man's wife. Even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Hello? What, back to John chapter 8. Where's the man? They let him go. He's one of the good old boys. He just had a little bit of fun. Violating God's word. And so were they. So Jesus, instead of saying, you're right, it does say that, go stoner, he says, where's the man? Folks, you know what Jesus is doing? He's protecting the weak and the innocent here. Now, she wasn't innocent. She was guilty. But so was he. He was making a point that if you're going to keep the law, keep all of it. Stone them both. No, they got a better plan. Oh, folks, I'm telling you, a nation ceases to protect the weak and innocent. It's declared war on Christianity. But sign number 6, quickly. Sure sign that a nation's declared war is when a nation imposes unrighteous laws upon the righteous. Imposing unrighteous laws upon the righteous. Listen to me. The Department of Education, which is run by the federal government, it decided late recently that religious schools that receive federal money yet obtain federal exemptions to allegedly discriminate against LGBT students and employees will have their waivers posted online for public view. Listen, this means that any Christian institution, Bible college, Christian school, whatever it might be, receiving federal money at the same time holding biblical morality and sexuality will suffer adverse consequences. Folks, I'm telling you, they're trying to shut us down. If you're getting the gist, led by Democratic Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon, the lawmakers said in December, and I quote, We are concerned these waivers allow for discrimination under the guise of religious freedom. All those terrible religious freedoms. That's what he said. All those terrible religious freedoms. They don't want you to have religious freedom anymore. Listen, go with me to Romans chapter 1. Quickly. Got to finish up. Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 18. Paul says, you know what? You declare war on biblical Christianity. You're going to bring the wrath of God down upon your head. That's what the Bible says. Look at it. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God had showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they think they know better than God, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, lesbianism. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And he goes through a dirty laundry list all the way down to verse 32. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Whoa! Folks, I'm here to tell you that when a nation imposes unrighteous laws upon the righteous, that nation has declared war on biblical Christianity. Did you know that on June 26th, this past June 26th, Washington, D.C. imposed and legalized same-sex marriage in all 50 states. Federally mandated. You know what they did? They passed an unrighteous law upon righteous people. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that it is wickedness that will be judged. But finally, I see one last sure sign that America has declared war on biblical Christianity. That is that when a nation embraces practices which destroy nations historically, they have declared war on biblical Christianity. I said, when a nation embraces practices that have destroyed nations historically, they are heading for destruction themselves. Listen to this. As reported on Breitbart News last week, a federal court sided with a transgender student who insisted that the Obama administration's reading of federal Title IX rules would allow her to choose her own bathroom at Virginia High School. Listen, according to the exultant Virginia ACLU, American Anti-Christian Liberty University Union, with this decision, we hope that schools and legislators will finally get the message that excluding transgender kids from the restrooms is unlawful sex discrimination. In other words, no matter what kind of hardship or inconvenience this puts upon the rest of the students in the school, and without any type of scientific proof at all that a child is actually transgender, they're just saying they are, the boys are, so they get in the girls' bathroom. The perceived needs of the one or two out of 1,000 struggling children will be imposed upon the other 998. And the Obama administration will come after your school if you fail to comply. Hear what I said? Obama's coming after you if you don't comply with these unrighteous laws and practices. Folks, what's scary about all this is that I could have listed quite a few more examples and signs of why America has declared war on biblical Christianity. But time would fail me. Believers in America, if somehow you are still sleeping, it is high time you wake up, because the day has come. Our rights are being taken away. The government is trying to squash. What did Nero do back there in the 1st century AD and 2nd century AD? He tried to destroy Christianity from the realm of his kingdom. That is exactly what is happening in America today. And one final one I want to give you. Sign number 8. When a nation legalizes same-sex marriage in all 50 states, that nation is heading for disaster. Folks, I'll never forget it. It was June 26th, this past June 26th. As I said, it was a Friday night. And that afternoon, Obama signed the deal that legalized same-sex marriage all over America. And I sat and tears flowed down my cheek as I saw the White House lit up with rainbow colors. It broke my heart, because for the first time in American history, the Rainbow Coalition, the homosexual flag, the rainbow colors lit up the White House. The President Obama was inside with his entire cabinet. They were drinking champagne and partying till midnight, celebrating same-sex marriage in America. And he lit up the White House in rainbow colors. And I sat there weeping. And I said, Lord, how can it be? How can it be? I don't understand. And I'm sure that a whole bunch of other preachers across this nation sat and wept with me. Because, folks, America has become hostile to biblical Christianity. One final thing. What are we going to do, folks? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. What are we going to do about our country? Are we just going to sit back and say nothing and let them take over? Or are we going to stand up and do what the Bible says? In 1 Timothy chapter 2, look at it. Verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Folks, the answer is found in verse 2. Pray for the king. Pray for the governors. Pray for the senators. Pray for the legislatures, that God would get a hold of America and save this nation from destruction. Father in heaven, how we thank you today that we need to pray for America. Oh Lord, my heart is burdened this morning. And Lord, just in the past 30 days, all these 7 signs have come to pass. All 8 of these signs have passed into legalization in America. Lord, they're coming for us. But Lord, we thank you that the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you that your train is running on schedule. You're coming quickly. You'll straighten this mess all out. But in the meantime, Lord, we've got a Christian life to live. Lord, in the meantime, we've got lost souls that need salvation. In the meantime, we've got a gospel that must be preached to the ends of the earth. So, Father, we ask you this morning in Jesus Christ's name, keep us going. Our prayer this morning, keep us going, Lord. This church in Hooksett, New Hampshire, reaching the ends of the earth through the internet. We thank you, Lord, that your word is going forth with power of the Holy Ghost. And we pray you keep it going. Keep it going. Keep it going, Lord. Despite the evil laws they're passing, keep us going. This is our prayer. keep us going. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. The people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Sorry, forgive me for going over, but let's sing one in closing. Oh, glory, I'm so thankful this morning. Yes, ma'am. Yes, indeed.
I have an old King James Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And on the back, in the back of it, it says, unanswerable or hard to answer question.
Mm.
And one of them was, are we allowed to fight our government if they, you know, pass the law?
Right, right.
Everything. And the answer was, you are under orders to fight back. When the government
violates away, God's word.
You're
correct.
Right.
Correct, ma'am. Hymn number 3. I'm sorry, not hymn number 3. That's right. That's right, Sarah. That's absolutely correct, because we need to obey God rather than men. Let's open up our hymnals to 227. We'll stand for our final hymn this morning. And thank God that our rock standeth sure. He's the rock of ages. Yes, indeed. Let's sing it. To the Lord.
Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy womb and side which flow be of sin the double pure. Save from earth the milky pure. From his fleeting breath, when my
singing this morning, church. And Father, how we thank you for a good service today. And Lord, how we thank you for reminding us that, Lord, our faith is under attack. Lord, our biblical values and principles upon which we stand are being undermined by our own government. And yet, Lord, we stand for thy truth. And Lord, we thank you that thy word liveth and abideth and endureth forever. And no matter how many laws this evil world may pass, the laws of God will stand forever. And we shall stand upon it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the people said, amen, amen, folks.